Right. Sorry we've kept you waiting a little bit. First of all, I want to thank Mark very much for agreeing to do this, because it is quite nerve-wracking to be suddenly sat in front of 300 or 400 people and asked questions. About that, I think. Quick tot. But... How many? Well... strength in numbers. But, in a lot of ways, I think that we should look at this not so much as a talk, in the great tradition of ICA talks, as a happening. Because I like to think of this as being a happening, in the sense that in the illustrious history of the ICA, there's been some connection with pop and rock music. Most of us here, I suspect, will remember those fêted occasions known as the Harp ICA Rock Week, where sort of 6 gallons of cheap beer was swirled around by terrible indie groups. And even earlier than that, I was reading the other day, there was a happening when Jim Morrison of a group, I think, called The Doors, turned up here. And he had to sit in a... he had to sit in an egg, because it was 1966, I think. And he sat in an egg, and visitors to the ICA paid their quid or whatever it was and were ushered one by one past Jim Morrison, who was sitting in his egg, and they could ask him questions. You know, history sadly does not tell us what his answers were, but it happened. Now, in a lot of ways, the Fall, Mark's group, are the absolute antithesis of both the Harp ICA Rock Week and the Doors. In fact, I think in some ways they're the absolute antithesis of everything that is commonly known as pop and rock culture. I don't particularly want this evening to turn into some sort of kind of critical theory debate, because I don't think that that's particularly interesting when applied to pop music. But what I do want to do is to give Mark a chance to talk a little bit about how it all came to be. And so my first question, talking about antitheses, is that many of us would have been quite surprised the other week to see the glorious moment when you appeared on Top of the Pops.
With the Inspirals, yeah.
With the Inspirals. Could you tell me, what was it like finally being on Top of the Pops?
I was just doing number 5, I don't know.
It's, I mean, Simon Bates, the famous Radio 1 disc jockey.
Well, they hate us, don't they?
Oh.
They just hate our guts. I wouldn't take the fall on that.
Because, as I said, Simon Bates...
It's really funny, they really made it hard for us, you know.
In what way?
I think it's like rubbish dressing rooms and stuff. Then you had Simon Mayo, and there's all these... And they had to get people to force young girls round Simon Mayo. So they were, like pushing them. Just like this the sort of BBC, look, you know, guy. Yeah. Guys in corduroys and beards. But like pushing, like, young girls round him. Because they didn't want to go round him. So then he started imitating me. You know, like taking the piss out of me, like. So how did you find out? Was it all right?
I spoke straight away to her.
They don't like us. Well, they don't like me.
It's... I mean, do you think that this is an extension? I mean, I heard...
Because they don't like me because it's, you know, it's like thought of as a John Peel sort of thing. So, you know...
But Simon
like,
Bates...
Like, what's he doing here?
Simon Bates once said, I gather, that he wouldn't play a full record on Radio 1 if it was the last record on Earth. And, I mean, I sort of somewhat think it's quite a compliment. But why do you think... Why do they hate you so much?
Me personally, or the group?
The group. And you, maybe. I mean,
I don't know. I don't understand it at all.
Do you think...
Never done them anyhow. Really. They're just jerks, aren't they? Let's face it.
Do you think that the sort of the way that...
The basic fact is they can't grasp what the fall is about. They can't grasp what I'm about. You know, people can say all sorts about me. But it's just like water off a duck's back. But, you know, they can't knock the group. The group's good.
I mean, one of the things I've always found quite strange is the fact that here, there and everywhere, the Fall are quoted as being a seminal group. It seems from sort of like since the Fall started.
Yeah, but then you blow the racket, don't you?
Mm.
You're not allowed to be good.
No, you're not allowed to be good in Britain, Michael. Think about it.
Well, it's true.
But do you think that seminal is a quick way to a sort of commercial grave?
Probably.
Welcome to the minimalist theatre of Marcus. When the Fall started, 1977?
About that, yeah, 78.
What were the early reactions to?
Extreme violence, ashtrays and stuff like that.
Do you think
that... Pretty much the same, you know, life goes in a circle.
Because there's a sleeve note on the back of Totale's Turn called Call Yourselves Bloody Professionals, where you talk about kind of the difficulty and the danger of being the Fall in working men's clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember what those concerts were like?
I can't remember. What do you think? I'm bloody retired or something. No, we had to work... We had to work in working men's clubs, Mike, because, you know, they wouldn't let us in the rock clubs, so that's what I'm saying, joking apart. You know what I mean? It was the same story in 1977. If you didn't like a punk, you weren't allowed to play anywhere. If you didn't have, like, you know, orange flaring hair and all that. No, really. People forget what it was like. And me and the group were like we're about 16, 17.
And you'd never thought of
so that. So we had to do work in men's clubs to earn a living, so I could keep the group going. Mm. So we used to go to Doncaster and places like that, Wakefield.
And what were the audiences they used to hearing?
They were used to hearing like Led Zepp run-throughs. A bit like the pop music industry today, isn't it?
Because the Fall, I mean, have never really sort of kind of fitted as a punk rock group. Did you ever think of the Fall as a punk rock group?
It's funny, because the last couple of months people will keep ringing me up and saying I'm a punk and all this. They do, though. Like, I'm going to punch your lights out, you're a punk. And they put the phone down.
Nirvana think you're punk, don't they?
They do, yeah. That's because they're middle-class Americans who've got too much money. They tried to catch a lift off us in Los Angeles. They wanted to get on the bus and have a look round.
What happened?
I got the bass player to go down and say, Courtney Palmer's like on the side of the bus like this. And I said, Steve, don't let her on. Steve went down in front of the bus and said, sorry, love, there's only band members only. do it in a lift home to the LA mansion.
It's a long way, I'd have thought, a lift in LA, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about, yeah, you're right, it's about 50 miles from it.
It's not just like...
But you think they could afford a taxi? Yeah. We've just been driving for 33 hours.
Yeah. But are Nirvana big Fall fans?
Yeah. Let's keep them out of the dressing room and all that. Serious.
Could you imagine ever being a Nirvana fan?
I don't know what are Nirvana about. I don't know what they're about. He goes out with an actress or something.
I've been told that what they're about is disillusioned teenage America.
Some of it's all right. I
And speaking of America, how do you feel about America?
It's all right. It's good.
But I gather you ran into problems because you smoked on a plane.
That's all right, yeah. Cigarettes.
Yeah. And somebody tried to arrest you or something, right?
No, I've been arrested about 3 times.
In America?
The internal flights, you're not allowed to smoke cigarettes. SWAT teams a lot. No joke.
And
just get a passport out and say, British consulate. Shuts them up. They believe it. If you went to the British consulate, you'd get no help whatsoever, would you?
It's
tragic.
Yeah.
I'm very embarrassed. How did you find about that?
You told me when we had dinner a couple of
weeks. Oh, sorry.
There's...
It's not nice being, you know, like, you've got 3 Eddie Murphy type blokes with machine guns, and they think it's like some kind of American cop film. And they get to smash you against the wall and everything, like, you've got to put your hands up and all this. And one of them's got a gun on you like that. The other one's got, like, handcuffs round your fucking ankles. One of them's got a fucking pistol up your balls. Like there's the nice one and the horrible one. So there's 3 of them behind you, like, you're like, there's 3 of them. And then there's, like, some Eddie Murphy type guy.
Like, this guy.
And there's a white one going like, oh, yeah, you know, look, if you going up to this. This is for having a cigarette on the back of the fucking plane.
Hey.
No, it's happened 3 times.
Because I'm
up. getting into it.
Now cleared off.
Yeah. I mean, getting back to the face-to-face stuff, when you were... you may well not want to talk about this, but what was it like being at school?
It's fine, isn't it? What's it been like at school?
I mean, did you get on with it?
Who were they?
With the school. Did you like going to school?
That was all right. It's good.
And was there any subject that you preferred more than others? Or?
Just leave me to it. I was always in that music class, you know.
When did your father buy you your first guitar? Do you think that the fall... how do I put this? Do you think that the fall would have been a very different kind of group if you...
Well, there's only one sort of musical person in my family. And that was Uncle Joe.
What did he do?
He just played the saw.
Yeah.
musical song. Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds like Hitchcock music or something like that.
Did he play well?
Don't know, never heard it. Nobody wanted to.
You're watching a man drowning. Have you noticed that he's kind of... You know. What was it like in 1982 when the Fall were about the most unfashionable group in the world? Was that quite depressing?
Yeah, it was a bit bad, yeah. Why do you think we're fashionable now?
It would seem to be the case.
I don't see it.
Bill, the music press is constantly sucking up to you.
The way I look at the Fall is like a graph. It's like a graph, you know, and it goes up and down. Mm. You know, people, they don't know, they look at you and they think it's easy, you know, look at him, he just makes it up as he's going along. They do. And like, the band can't play and all that stuff. You know, I'm just used to it. Been the same case since 1982 or whatever.
But do you feel that kind of, to some extent, the music press...
Mainly is that groups have a lifespan of 3 years in this country. Mm. And they don't like the fact that you're still going. I'm not bothered about it, you see. I'm not in it for commercial success. I'm in it because I've got something to say, and I want the band. I want to nurture it. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm not finished yet, you know.
Good.
You know, 15 LPs, 20 LPs, 30 LPs, doesn't bloody matter to me. Take it or leave it, don't you?
Do you think that there has been a time when there's been a sort of almost like an active campaign to stop you?
Yeah, I'm not like, I don't care. Who cares what they think? You know what it's about, so. Mm.
If it isn't a bleak question, could you tell me a little bit about who is Roman Total?
What? Scraping the barrel here, Mike, can't you? No, it's just like a alter ego sort of character.
Mm. It's funny, because I don't really... He thought that. I don't really see it as scraping the barrel, because throughout your
these
work...
These questions have got to be asked.
Well, these questions have got to be asked. But it seems like an awful lot of people have tried to tell you in interviews or whatever what the Fall is. Lots of people tried to graft their own version of it.
That's right. Yeah, I should imagine. That's what I always said. One thing... People tend to bring out more of themselves. They sort of reveal more of themselves than the Fall. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest complaint I get from fans, is that they read an LP review, they don't find anything out about the bloody LP. All they find out about is about the journalist's hang-ups. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. And you find that you are what you call in life is usually what you are. Mm. So if you say to somebody, that bloke over there is a sex maniac, it usually means you're a sex maniac. No, but it's true, folks. And that's what people can't really conceive the Fall. Especially in reviewers, you can, but you're not a journalist.
Do you think that one of the problems is that people have missed, and there's a lot of humour in the Fall, as well as a lot of beauty?
Yeah, but you're talking
about...
those
two words...
I'm sorry, but you know, what you're talking about is, you know, these journalists are used to talking to cretins every fucking day. Like, you know, and I don't blame them. So obviously the brains are going like sludge. So if they get someone like the Fall, to them it sort of sounds like the Farm or something. You know, they can't differentiate. No, well, they do. It's true.
Is that? I mean, I don't tend to read the music press very
much. Neither do I. I don't read either. So that's why I'm always on the defence when you say, "What about 82?" I'm like, I don't really know.
When I say about what?
Well, I don't know. When you say like 1982, you're the most hated group in the world. How do you know that?
I don't know it. I just simply remember that in 1982 there was suddenly this great burst of sort of neo disco music, and suddenly
it's
remotely intelligent.
I know.
Didn't find favour.
No.
No.
Boo-hoo.
When you did the collaboration, well, two things. The play of your own that you did, the Hey Luciani.
Yep.
I saw that at the Riverside Studios. And it seemed that that play was harder for people to understand than The Curious Orange, primarily because Curious Orange was more glossily packaged and more of a sumptuous production. Would you ever revive either of those two plays? Would you do them again like you might play Cruiser's Creek or something?
Well, the thing with the theatre, I found that was the big thing about it, really. I was very shocked in the fact that it was a shittier business, really, than the rock business, the theatre, you know.
In what way?
Well, nobody gets paid. There was security and stuff on. Like a bit like tonight.
I've got my 30 quid, I'm proud of it.
All right. Then the ballet thing was the same caboodle, you know. I can't help the way I talk, Michael, you know.
No.
The ballet thing was even worse. It was just like total chaos. There was only me and the group who were keeping things together.
Yeah. Because from where I was sitting at that play, kind of...
The play or the ballet?
The ballet, the Curious Orange.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fall was sort of blowing the rest of it off stage anyway.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But
I don't know, I don't think they had the moments of dancers.
Would you do another play, do you think?
No, that's what I'm trying to say to you. I would never. Wouldn't even attempt it again.
Right.
I never had a nervous breakdown doing that, Luciano. It's like 6 weeks in a bloody basement in bloody London. It's horrible. It's terrible.
Well,
they ring you up at 9:30 going, theatre call is at 8:30, and all this a.m. I'm going, like, I've just gone to bed. And they're going, we need to know like the fourth act. I said, I haven't bleeding wrote it yet. No, it's true.
Because
I'm into stuff like Fellini and shit like that.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Which
you're right on the spot, you know. That's the only way you ever get it good. Otherwise, it's stale.
I mean, one of the things that I quite liked reading about Fellini was the way that he just write in stuff into the film that day that he'd read in the newspaper.
Right.
And
but I tried, that's what I'm saying, and I tried that approach in Hey Luciani and the ballet, you know, and they just weren't having it. You know, it just doesn't fit in with the, you know.
It doesn't.
We don't fit in with drama students and bloody the rest of them.
Yeah, but to be honest, they should be listening to you, shouldn't they? I mean, you're
the artist. That's my idea, yeah. I mean, I'm writing it.
Yeah. But did you find that, like, the theatre were completely inflexible about that? That, oh, Mark, you've got to do it this way?
Completely inflexible. In fact, that's the funny thing about it, was I was like, come back, the rock world always forgiven, you know. Mm. After going through theatre and ballet, I thought, bloody hell. Mm.
I mean, so this stage, I mean, I kind of come clean and embarrass you. I mean, I believe that the gentleman sitting here is as great an artist as Wyndham Lewis and probably as great an artist as Joseph Beuys. And it's dangerous saying something like that these days because one's accused of pretension or accused of how can you possibly know. I feel that I do know because Wyndham Lewis, who I think you're quite interested in, aren't you? Suffered a very...
Rotting Hill.
A great book.
Great book. In two words. Mm.
need we go further. But there was a tremendous animosity, wasn't there, aimed at Lewis.
I mean, tried to lock him up, yeah.
And people said that he had dreadful politics and all the rest of it.
Right, when you're fascist, I've had it all.
How do you feel when people... Sorry, I keep on saying, how do you feel? I mean, I can't think of any other
people way. People covet. People are jealous. You know. You can't help that. You know. Groups want to be like you. You know. People want to write like you. I'm not interested. I'm like that at the moment. Got it up to... people... You get groups coming to your concert and they're like copy of clothes. It's like, where did you get your shirt from? And I'm going like, I don't bloody know. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You get Scousers coming up and going like, where did you get your shoes from? I'm going, a shoe shop. The nature of the business.
But do you know, I mean, there's this thing, particularly in Britain, where two things. Firstly, Britain loathes success more than anything else.
Well, I haven't had any success.
And, well, I think that one of the, I mean, I always feel that kind of like when Carl Andre stuck his bricks in the Tate Gallery, the British could never ever get over these bricks in the gallery. And so the first thing they did was turn it into sort of like a tabloid press joke and then into a caricature. And I feel increasingly that...
Well, anybody who reads the tabloid press is a fucking moron, is it? In my bad book. I'm sorry, isn't it?
Absolutely, but I mean, 5 million
I don't have papers in my house. I don't.
But do you think it's kind of like a British disease the moment anybody does anything different to
I just started when I was 14, you know. Mm. 20 years on now, you know.
That the British term...
What you read in the papers is crap. It's obvious to anybody.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I think most people here would agree. I mean. There's a lot...
You've got to patronise them. Of course, I have to, because, you know, I need to. Because The Fall isn't a commercial group. So, you know, any press is good press. I don't care what they say, really. Mm. It sounds horrible, but that's what I feel.
I mean, I feel that, you know, what is called cultural media these days. I mean, endless supplements, endless magazine articles.
They're illiterate, most of them, I find.
The people who are writing it.
Mm.
Do you think that's because they just... illiterate or because they're suffering from sort of information overload?
No, because they don't study, unlike yourself, they don't look at what they really want to say. They're not really interested in writing. They're just trying to make a deadline. It happened in America like 10 years ago. Mm.
Do you think that if there wasn't a pop media, in other words,
it's like an incomprehension of like they can't see, you know, the difference. For a start, they can't see the difference between journalists. They can't see the difference between journalism and trying to say something. They can't understand the difference between science and art. They can't understand the difference between art and poetry. What can you do about these people?
Well,
you know, no, because if you get het up about it, Michael, you end up like being, you know, you get upset. And no, you don't.
Yeah. I mean, it seems at the moment that what media is doing is just talking.
They don't understand
itself.
Syntax or anything. They can't spell. They don't understand syntax. They don't know the difference between a poet and an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I did my top 10 books for like the Sunday Times or something.
Mm.
This woman, she shan't hers. So I had to get me top 10 books. So I picked like 14. Just to be on the safe side. So she'd only heard of three of them. This is the literary editor of the Times. She never heard of Raymond Chandler. I said, Raymond Chandler, you know, the one that all the programmes imitate. It's good. Oh, no.
What were the other books on the list, can you?
Jim Thompson, Nietzsche.
Right.
The book comes out, the article comes out, it's like, Read Nietzsche at 15. I said, what books do you need then, love? She goes, I'm just getting into Jane Austen. I said, how old are you? She says, 34. She said, have you ever read any of his work? I said, yeah, at 14, it was crap. So you read Nietzsche at 15, did you? And then the headline comes out, read Nietzsche at 15. She'd heard of Nietzsche. She hadn't heard of, like, 12 of the books.
Mm. This is the literary editor of our country. Yeah.
Think about that, Bob.
Because I hope it's not giving away a secret that you're occasionally asked to lecture to the James Joyce Society in Cambridge.
Yeah.
I mean, that must be a meeting of mighty opposites. I mean, how do those things go? I mean, what do? Do they sit around and talk about James Joyce?
I'll just go and get the money and piss off. Sorry, can we change the subject?
Yes.
Do you want to ask me anything about the group?
Yes. One of the things I didn't want to do earlier is ask you questions about the group, so I feel that you're probably asked non-stop about it. As I say, people trying to graft meanings onto the fall. People sort of die-hard early fans who say, oh, well, after Slates they lost it, and now they've got computers and things. I think that what you're doing is, like, the fall always seems to be based on repetition to some extent.
Right.
It's become a bit of a cliche to say it. And do you think that the group is still works on that basis?
I don't stop and think about that.
I'm sorry?
I don't stop and think about that.
Right. Because the records, I mean, the last two records, I mean, the Infotainment Scan and Code Selfish,
right,
seem to me to be very, very hard. I mean, sort of tough records, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And that would seem to belie some of the recent stuff that's been written to say, oh, the fall, they finally got commercial. And I just don't see
every
that at
all. Every LP we bring out, they always say, it's the same old story. This is more commercial than the last one.
And does that annoy you? Or does it just not bother you, one way or the other?
No, I just used to it on this one. Do you want to ask some questions from the audience?
Absolutely. In the words of Morrissey, I tried and I failed, but anybody... Thank you. Please feel free, anybody who'd like to ask any question. Go ahead.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you like? You often talk about things in your music that you don't like, about this country particularly. I wonder what you did like about it.
The country?
Well, yeah, country, people.
I think it's great. It's the best place in the world.
I mean, I'm just talking about things like songs like A Lot of Wind and Daytime Television. I mean, I'm not talking about major things, but they often... I'm
proved,
you know, the cynicism of them sometimes.
Right.
But I just
it gives the wrong impression, I think.
I just wonder if there are similar kinds of things that you really enjoy. Similar kind of popular culture things.
How do you mean?
Well, for example, A Lot of Wind. Yeah. A Lot of Wind is... sort of a diatribe against daytime television.
Right. Which I despise.
Right, rightly so. But I wonder if there's similar types of things that you particularly like. Obviously talking about daytime television, but other...
Well, I like it, of course, because it encourages me to write. I'm a pop singer, so I unlike a lot of other people who have to go to bloody work at 9 o'clock. You know, that's all I bloody do sometimes.
So you're saying that it's the things that you don't like that inspire you the most?
In a lot of ways, yeah. When I hear a really appalling record, it usually inspires me to write another song. When I feel like packing it up, you know, just... I think rock music is a very abused form. I sincerely believe that. Because I think it's a really good form, and it's too easy for a lot of people.
Is that the kind of thing you were saying in Idiot Joy Show?
Stuff like that, yeah.
So, who music do you like?
Me, I like rockabilly and all, stuff like that, and reggae.
So you like Morrissey then?
Sorry?
So you like Morrissey then?
Do I like Morrissey?
Well, he's going with rockabilly for a while.
Has he?
What did you say to him last Thursday?
What?
On Top of the Pops, you must have met him on Top of the Pops.
What are you saying?
I wonder what you talked about if you met last week.
No, I know Steve from 10 years ago.
Yeah, but do you have anything in common?
What? He's shit scared of me.
Anybody else? Yeah.
You say about people being tackled in newspapers and all. What do you think can be done to overcome that? I think it's a lack of education. We all know that sort of people. We offer a lot of criticism about our culture, but we've got to make
it. Can't hear you, can you speak up? Sorry, sir. Yeah, what answers have I got? Got you. So what are you saying? I'm a clever dick who's got no... who can moan about things. This is the populist sort of version of me. I don't write songs that just complain. What would I like in its place? Well, that's, you know... Exactly. I think it's important that somebody should monitor these things. I mean, your question is just the usual bloody thing, you know. Who's this smart aleck? That's what you're saying. I've got loads of solutions. I wouldn't want to put them in practice. I mean, we all know our perfect world. But it's each to his own, isn't it? what he bloody needs in this bloody country. It's true.
If you were ever asked to write a manifesto, Mark, do you think you'd be able to do it?
Used to do it.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
Did you, was it sort of kind of like an artistic manifesto or a...
No, political party manifesto.
What were the basis of it? What were the basis of it?
Kill everybody with glasses on. Damn, I used to be a communist, I'm sorry.
You used to be a communist?
No, that was 10 years ago. No. I don't know.
Mark, you wrote telephone thing on extricate.
Right.
Do you think you've ever been a source of interest to MI5 or security services, bearing in mind what you just said about communist involvement?
Well, I
was... Have you ever been tapped?
Well, that's why I wrote the song, because I was being tapped, yeah. What I used to do was like just, you know, like shout down the phone and rip the phone out. In fact, it's a lot worse now. Because I know people who work in BT, they tell me these things. For a lot, when they've got nothing to do in the afternoon. No, they do. You know, they go, oh, well, yeah, here we go. Here's Bob Geldof or something. Is Mark Smith. Let's have, you know, we've got nothing to do. So let's have a listen in on these people. So one time they were listening on me and I just went, what the fuck are you doing? You know, so...
You get an answer?
Oh yeah, they just put the phone on. They can't believe it, you sussed them out. Is that right?
Any more? Yeah.
There was something in the paper a few weeks ago before we were in the air with David Wetherill. That now seems to be off. We made a bit of a move to run David Wetherill in the case recently. I wonder if there's any stories about him.
No, it's different people, really. Wasn't going to work, you know. How'd you like Andy?
No.
I don't know much about him, and, you know, we gave him the stuff and it wasn't going anywhere, so I took it back off him.
Any more? Yeah.
I'm serious now. You're writing over the years.
You serious?
Your writing over the years, Mark, has been very influenced by your...
I know you. I know you from ages back.
Reading in world.
You've had your hair cut, haven't you?
Your readings in
he's history. Fucking mad him. What? What?
Can you, what, as a widely read, almost an historian, what are the lessons that we can learn from our history? If you had to put it in a couple of sentences, what we've been saying for 16 years.
I've just got, you know, writing to do, and carry on. Nobody buys it or whatever. I always get this crap, you know, like, put it in a book and all this. I'm not going to. I'm not. You're right, good to see you.
Lots of people, lots of publishers. Sorry, is that okay?
Yeah.
Lots
is that all right?
Lots of publishers I know are very keen to get you to write a novel. Mm. Are you saying you... Well, not a novel necessarily, but a book.
I'll get around to it. No.
Would you ever bring out a book just of the writing you've done for The Fall?
No.
Even though... Because, I mean, those pages are very beautiful. I mean, as, you know, with the typing and with the errors and the crossings out, as they've occurred in artwork, they
right.
do look like
right.
very beautiful... Mm. Pieces. I mean,
I know what you're saying, Mark. Thank you.
But it would be nice, really. I mean, simply from a sort of art historical point of view, to have them between covers. But would you feel very uncomfortable about that?
No, it's a funny thing. People have always been on my case about it. I don't know what it is. I just can't do it. could do it, but maybe when I'm like 50 or something.
Yeah.
I think I don't know. I think, you know, I think the British novel is dead, apart from people like you, to be quite frank.
Thank you. William Blake.
I don't want to be with them, you know.
Mm.
If you understand me.
Oh yeah.
I don't like literature either.
Mm.
It's always been like that.
How do you? I mean, in some ways. Here you are at the Institute of Contemporary Art, sort of like, you know, the bastion of critical theory and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you react when people refer to you as an artist? You know, capital A, in meaning in the sort of...
I'm an artist, yeah. I've been an artist for about 12 years.
But,
and?
What? Yeah. No, just that kind of, in some ways, being stigmatised as an artist can be as bad as being stigmatised as...
Nobody's ever even called me an artist.
Surely they have.
Well, so that's my strength, you know. The strength is being undercover.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, let's see that. Any more from the floor? Yes.
What kind of response do you get abroad in European countries where they don't really understand you?
Pretty good, it's great.
Is it more favourable than the British response?
Yeah.
Meaning in the
sort of course I'm an artist, yeah. I've been an artist for about 12 years.
But,
and?
No, just that kind of, in some ways, being stigmatised as an artist can be as bad as being stigmatised as...
Nobody's ever even called me an artist.
Surely. They have.
Well, so that's my strength, you know. The strength is being undercover.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, didn't see that. Any more from the floor? Yes.
What kind of response do you get abroad in European countries where they don't really understand you yet?
Pretty good, it's great.
Is it more favorable than the British response?
Yeah. Even in America, West Coast especially.
Give us a few examples of encounters in Europe.
Well, the only place that doesn't take us in Europe is France. Which suits me fine.
There's a guy...
Carry on, sorry. That's right.
Sorry?
No, I know what you're saying, Clark. Sorry? Cheers. What is that?
I missed that, I'm afraid, in time.
What? The orange one?
The
orange book. Sorry. Yeah. I don't think it's a good idea. No, well, I don't. Yeah, that's what you're saying, yeah. But I wouldn't let him. It's my fault. Did you get me what? Shoes.
Okay, any more?
In a shoe shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wondered if I don't know if you say anything good about any band.
can't see any of these bastards.
Oh, wait.
Right up at the very back.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if there's any sort of other bands, particularly not just bands, that you like and you admire, particularly lyrically, and whether you still buy records or not.
Yeah, I buy lots of records, yeah.
What's up and what do you like and what do you recommend?
I buy a Stereo Lab and stuff like that, and I don't buy anything. You know, I always went with the contention that 99% is shit, you know. So I buy jazz records, I buy rave records, and I buy, you know, like, rock and roll records. I even buy 60s compilations from Woolworths when I feel like it.
Is there any lyricist that you admire,
like,
or?
No, I don't think there's any good ones. I think it's bad. What lyric writers do you use?
Where you're laughing. I don't know. I like Orbison and Weller and Morrissey.
Roy Orbison?
Yeah.
You never wrote a song?
Sorry?
You never wrote any songs?
He wrote all his songs and everyone else's songs, I thought.
So you like Roy Orbison anyway? Sorry.
Any more?
Yeah, who else?
Sorry.
You like Paul Weller?
Yeah.
Hang on.
What was the last song he wrote?
Sorry. What was the last song he wrote? Hmm? Well, he got to have two
side albums out. Well, who's the other one you like?
Morrissey.
Right.
Any more? Yeah.
What are your reasons for bringing out cover versions like Victoria
and It gets the group working on.
Is it purely money?
What? You said, is it purely money? Nah.
They don't sell actually a lot, the cover versions. Our cover versions don't.
Yeah.
Tried to. I like Nick's lyrics very much, but the novel I can't really get round.
Sorry. I don't know a group called Sabado. Sorry, I don't know the group, but I don't think Mark
does.
Yeah, I've got their records, yeah. Great. No, they are, they're good. Is that it, Michael? Is that all right for Spike?
I think that's probably good. Just a tiny moment.
Yeah, second.
Mark, got it.
What?
You write first, and will it take longer to write old songs if you do?
What, John?